Today on Real Radio.
If anything, prayer can be such a specific tactical weapon that can go right into the camp of the enemy, and we can say, Lord, my child's been sick. You know that, God. Before you ever created the heavens and the earth, you knew that my child would be battling this illness. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, first of all, if this illness and sickness is from you, glorify your name in it, because I don't understand it. But if it's not from you, then, oh God, and listen, I'm letting you into my prayer life. Oh God, if it is not from you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will so take the enemy and you will bring this, what he has planned, against his own head.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his collection of studies called Why Should I? We've just begun a new study series called Why Should I Pray? Truth be told, we really don't fully grasp the fact that prayer is an unmerited privilege. To actually make known to our Almighty Creator our thoughts, requests, and sentiments, that's quite a privilege. In fact, that alone helps to answer the question that serves as the title of this presentation, Why Should I Pray? Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Daniel prayed, and that was a tremendous thing, and we'll get to this one in the future. But Daniel was praying, and we come to that portion of the Bible, and we say, boy, he's been praying a long time. Does anybody know how long Daniel prayed? Thank you. Very good, Matthew. 21 days. Daniel prayed 21 days on his face praying before God. Now, did he get up and do his business? Of course he did. Did he take care of the things that he had to do? Of course he did. But he went right back to prayer. In 21 days, no answer. The heavens might have felt like brass. Have you ever been like that? Has ever felt like that? When you're praying and it's like your prayer doesn't even get out of the roof of your house? Daniel stayed at it. And then, in one of his moments of prayer, on the 21st day of his time of prayer, the atmosphere opened up before him and an angel arrived. And I don't mean to make light of it, but if you read carefully, it's quite interesting. The angel shows up and basically goes, whoo, whew, sorry. What? When you began to pray, I was dispatched to give you an answer from God about your prayer request. I was detained for 21 days in the atmosphere above your head. The prince of Persia, the enemy sent to fight with me, and we were in the atmosphere of warring back and forth, and there's a huge fight going on in the spiritual realm. I had an answer 21 days ago to give you from God, the angel said. But this prince of Persia, by the way, isn't that interesting? Persia? Yeah, that's Iraq today. The angel said, he's mighty, and I couldn't get away from him until who came to the rescue? Every time you see Michael, the archangel, show up, that dude must be extremely buffed. He is one bad angel. Every time you see Michael, the archangel, he's involved in a fist fight in heaven, in the atmosphere. He's fighting demons. He's fighting Satan himself. By the way, don't ever think that Satan and Jesus are arch rivals, okay? Class, listen, get that in your head now. Satan and Jesus are not arch rivals, and contrary to Mormonism, they're not brothers either. Satan and Jesus are not brothers. And Satan is no match for Jesus. In fact, if you read Colossians chapter 1, among many other scriptures, the Bible makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the creator of angels. Did you know that? That's why in 1 Timothy 3:16, that when Mary was giving birth to Jesus in the flesh into this world, it says there that angels gawked in awe at the revelation of God manifested in flesh. Christ coming into the world. No, if Satan's got an opponent, if he's got an equal, it's Michael. Michael and Lucifer, or Michael and Satan, appear to have the same amount of warfare powers. And by the way, Michael has been known from time to time to take care of matters very, very efficiently. And what an amazing, amazing angel he is. He shows up, he knocks out, just boom. All right, take that message to Daniel now. I'll take care of it from here. You want to learn more about that? Get Frank Peretti's first book, Piercing the Darkness. That'll keep you up all night. So exciting. Oh, man. The angel arrives and says, Daniel, I got the answer. And the answer is given. What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 19th day? What if Daniel would have stopped praying on the 20th day? What if Daniel, after three tries, I give up. No, the angel came and spoke regarding this tremendous thing. We need to keep praying. We need to stay at it. We are not powerless. The evils that are coming upon the world, the evils that are supposedly coming upon America, California, the threat of terror and attack. Listen, the greatest thing you can do to be at ease and calm and have the wisdom of God at times like this is to pray, because God will tell you exactly what to do. Stay at it, church. I tell you what, we're going to stay at it. If there's only three or two or one of us left, we're going to stay at it. God says, I'm only looking for one person to pray. And there's more than one person here. We need to pray. We need to wake up. No wonder why it says in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and in fellowship and in the breaking of bread. Look at it carefully. And in what? Prayers, plural, S. Not prayer. Prayers. And as this study progresses, we will learn what prayers mean. There are various types of prayer. There's intercessory type prayer. Among many types of prayer, there's prayer of adoration, there's prayer of worship, there's prayer of warfare. There's the type of prayer that we go before God and we're interceding hard because someone that we love or know is sick or injured. Prayer has many types of manifestations for battle. When the church found itself in the early church in trouble, what did it do? It prayed. Remember? It prayed. They didn't know much, huh? You and I know so much more than what the early church did. It wasn't until much later, till mid-90 AD, that the book of Revelation was given to John. It wasn't until later that the scriptures were available to all Old and New Testament alike. Look what you and I have now. We not only have the Bible, we've got all kinds of lexicons and the meaning of the, not leprechauns, lexicons, the meaning of the Greek word, the meaning of the Hebrew word, and what was this in Aramaic, and when Jesus said this, what was the culture like? We're so rich in our knowledge, aren't we, class, huh? Then you know what? We need to pray more because we know more. Our faith should be huge. Our faith should dwarf the faith of the early church, don't you think? It should. We have so much more knowledge. We've got, and not only that, we've got such a scientific world that is out there that many people early on thought would show the Bible to be bankrupt and void of knowledge. And yet every bit of scientific achievement has shown all along that the Bible is exactly right on in scientific descriptions and in scientific understanding. The Bible. It's amazing to me. When the church was in trouble, it prayed. When the church found itself in need, it went to prayer. Maybe you're in trouble. Maybe you're in need. We're to pray. And the church is to gather and pray. We're to pray for each other. It is a horrible day when we as Christians have so much pride that we cannot turn to the person next to us and say, hi, are you a brother? Are you a brother here? I know you're at Calvary. I know you stand next to me every week. Are you a Christian? Yes, I am. Can you remember something without giving you the details? Will you pray for fill in the blank? Will you pray, I just lost my job of 28 years. Will you pray? Will you pray, please? You don't even need to know the name of my son or my daughter, but will you pray? And that Christian ought to turn to that one who's making the request and say, I guarantee you I will pray. Church, if we're not doing that, we're pathetic. We are, as Keith Green said, we are asleep in the light. We're sleeping. We need to pray. Why? Because we're all in trouble. We all have needs. And sometimes I'm wondering if my trouble and my needs isn't exactly what the doctor ordered to get me to pray, and sometimes to break down that wall of pride that I have too much pride to turn to you and say, will you please pray for this situation? What would keep us from that request but pride? Doesn't the Bible say we have not because we ask not? So let us ask over and over again. When the church was young and found itself persecuted, what did it do? It prayed. When the church was young and found itself making a difference in the world, that's my way of saying success, it became successful, not in a bad way, in a good way. It was making a difference in the world. It prayed more. Often churches get successful. Oh, look, we've got a big building. We've got a lot of people. We've got a lot of money. We've got a lot of presence in the community, or we've got a lot of missionaries, or you just fill in the blank. Be careful. You're now, right then, beginning to lose your power. Boast not in thyself. Seekest thou great things, says the scripture, seek them not. Let God be glorified, and he will always be glorified if we're praying and seeking him. But whenever the early church was in need, they prayed. A great example of this, of the early church in need, and a great example of its invisible power of prayer, is Acts chapter 12. Turn there if you would, I'll read it. Acts chapter 12. People, this is both powerful. Power? Yeah, the power is going to be unleashed. But it's a problem too. Kind of like that bomb, the E-bomb. Well, it's in overwhelming power, it's just proven to be unpredictable when we test it. Boy, I wonder what they mean by that. Okay, press the button, let's test it. Forget you, you press the button. I thank God prayer's not like that. If anything, prayer can be such a specific, tactical weapon that can go right into the camp of the enemy, and we can say, Lord, my child's been sick. You know that, God. Before you ever created the heavens and the earth, you knew that my child would be battling this illness. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, first of all, if this illness and sickness is from you, glorify your name in it, because I don't understand it. But if it's not from you, then, oh God, and listen, I'm letting you into my prayer life. Oh God, if it is not from you, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will so take the enemy and you will bring this, what he has planned, against his own head. That you will take the teeth out of the lion who's going about roaring and seeking whom he may devour. And that you'll take his claws and rip them out of his paws, that he would have no power over my child. Lord, if it's from you, grant us the grace. And if it's from the enemy, slay him in Jesus' name. I tell you, we're at war. And some of you wives, you need to fight for your husbands, not with your words. It's not going to work. I've been telling him every day for a month. You can tell him every day for the rest of his life. It won't work. I've been putting tracks in his lunch. That's not going to work. Get on your knees. If you have a godly friend who can keep their lips quiet and not gossip, get her with you. And pray. Husband, you got a whacked out wife, loony, weirding out. I don't want you anymore. I don't want these kids. I want the world. I want to, you know, I've been watching reality TV. And that's what I want. That's why America's watching the reality TV. Their life is boring. You know what? If anybody had any guts in the media world, they would get real Christians and put them on reality TV. You want reality TV? Okay, here it is. Reality TV. What are we going to be doing tonight? Calvary Chapel Chino Hills is going to go down with Pastor Tarr. We're going to go down to Hollywood and Vine, and we're going to share with the hookers and prostitutes, the drug addicts, and the bums. You want reality TV? Pray with somebody who smells so bad you can't even get near them. And they said, I'm sick of being drunk and I'm sick of hiring hookers. I don't want to live like this anymore. Join up with our ministry on Hollywood and Vine in Normandy. You want reality TV? It's not this stupid stuff you're watching. Nobody on TV would watch. Nobody in this church would watch that stuff. I know you would not. But there are people who are watching that stuff. And they're like, whoa, look. What's he eating? What is that? I don't know. I guess I'm just getting old, but it seems a little strange for me for somebody to eat a pig uterus. I mean, why would you eat a pig uterus for $50,000? Wow. You'd do that for $50,000? Would you go to a prayer meeting for a pig uterus? I'll go to a prayer meeting for a... Oh, no, you mentioned money and it's, oh, where do I sign up? Wow. Reality TV, forget that. Christianity should be absolutely so radical and so powerful. I tell you, you college and career, you 18 to 30-year-olds, you're going to be having a blast pretty soon. March 14th, that new ministry is going to get kicked off. You're going to be hearing about it all over the LA area on radio. Eve Lajoie is going to be teaching. First night out, E-Tribe, whatever that is. There's some crazy group. But the Cry, music, wonderful teaching, all that stuff. And then you know what? Eve is going to get those college and career people. They're just not going to sit there and go, oh, that was a cool Bible study. He's going to get you guys off the seats and out on the streets. And he's going to drag you to Quebec, and he's going to drag you to Paris, and he's going to drag you to other French-speaking parts of the world, and you're going to have translators, and you're going to be sharing Christ. Oh, I thought we were just going to kind of scope out the chicks. No, man, you're going to have Bible teaching, prayer meetings. You're going to get up off your seats and hit the streets. And no wonder why the ministry will be called extreme, because what Jesus did for us was extreme. And I don't know about you, but if you're not living an extreme life, then what are you doing? Yeah, you're watching reality TV because your life's boring. Okay, watch this. Reality, Acts chapter 12. I told you. Acts chapter 12 about a half hour ago. Acts chapter 12. Now at that time, Herod the king stretched out his hand to harass some from the church, and then they killed James. That's the apostle James, the brother of John, with the sword. Cut his head off. And because Herod saw that it pleased all the Jews, that's the religious Jews, he proceeded further to seize Peter also. Now, it was during the days of unleavened bread. So when they had apprehended him, they put Peter in prison and delivered him to the four squads of the soldiers to keep him, intending to bring him before the people after Passover. And Peter was therefore kept in prison. But what does it say, class? Constant prayer was offered up to God for him by the church. That's us today. And when Herod was about to bring him out, I love that. All right, go get him. That night, Peter was sleeping, bound with two chains between two soldiers, and the guards before the door were keeping in the prison. Verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and a light shone in the prison and struck Peter. Get this, Peter's so sleeping on the eve of his execution. This is Peter panic. This is Peter put your foot in your mouth before you talk kind of Peter. This is Peter who, not knowing what to say, said something. This is Peter, always getting interrupted by the Holy Spirit. This is Peter when it's told, you're going to die tomorrow. Oh, all right. He goes to sleep, and the angel has to strike him. Look, it says, and the angel struck Peter on the side and raised him up. Get up. Hey, wake up. Arise quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. Then the angel said to him, gird yourself and tie in your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment and follow me. So he went out and followed him. and did not know that what was done by the angel was real. Did you hear that? He's dreaming. This is a dream. He didn't know this was real, but thought that he was seeing a vision. And when they were past the first and second guard posts, they came to the iron gate that led out into the city, which opened to them of its own accord. You know what that means? That's so cool. The angel's walking with Peter, and the gate just opens up all by itself. The gate opened up of its own accord, and they went out and went down one street. Listen to the detail. Went down one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Verse 11, and when Peter had come to himself, that is, he realized this was not a dream. He says, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from the expectations of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. This is John Mark, the author of Mark's gospel. Where many were gathered together. What were they doing, everybody? Praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda. I bet she's bummed that her name is in there, because watch what happens. A girl by the name of Rhoda came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate. Isn't that cute? Let me in. Psst. Let me in. She goes to the door. Who is it? It's Peter. It is Peter. And she runs. She runs away from the gate. And so she tells them, she announces to them, Peter is standing before the gate. But they said to her, verse 15, you're nuts. You're beside yourself. That means you're crazy. Girl, you're crazy. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said to her, it must be his angel. The angel that's been sent to watch over him. Now Peter continued knocking. Just leave it right there for a minute. There were a lot of people praying, and they were continuing at prayer. That's power. How do we know? Because the angel comes from heaven and gets him out.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a study series that answers the question, why should I pray? In fact, that's the title of this study, taken from the Why Should I series, and we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio with more. Speaking of prayer, we ask that you pray for this radio and online outreach. Of course, we ask that you support this endeavor financially, but keeping Real Radio on your prayer list is just as important. Here's a letter that undoubtedly reflects the sentiments of thousands. Pastor Jack and Real Radio, your message is such a breath of fresh air, giving me the tools I need to be able to go through my day. Please know that although we are far away, we listen to you and encourage your ministry. The Lord has blessed your ministry, and I will continue to be a listener. Now that you offer a free subscription to your broadcast, I will invest in an iPod to ensure that I can listen to your message even on days when I'm running late. God bless you. Sincerely, D in New Jersey. Well, thank you, D. And as you can see, when you support us prayerfully as well as financially, this is an example of how lives are reached, due in part to your participation. You can read more letters and emails like these at realradioactive.org. Again, go to realradioactive.org and click the tab that says Reaction. If you'd like to get in touch with us by telephone, here's our number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Again, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Real Radio is made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.